Are you an athlete tired of annoying injuries holding you back from peak performance? Then this podcast is for you. Here we share our expert opinion on hot topics of physical therapy, injury prevention, sports performance, and sometimes other random thoughts. I'm your host, Dr. Ells. Welcome to the Charlotte Athlete Podcast.
All right. Welcome to the Charlotte Athlete Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about low back pain. I have Dr. Andrew with me today.
Yes. Pumped to be here. Freaking low back. Who does not deal with low back pain?
I think this is like the most widespread pain ever. It's statistically that.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt, everyone deals with it at some point. It's just a matter of time if you're one of the lucky ones.
Mm-hmm. So today what we'll be talking about is the root cause or the most common root cause of low back pain. There's a lot of things that can cause back pain, including like disc herniations, like true disc herniations. We can always get into that later. That's a very debated, you know, subject matter. So there's that. Some things like spondylolisthesis. Holy hell.
Spondylolisthesis.
That's a good one.
Structural
issues. Yeah. OA, rheumatoid arthritis, autoimmune diseases, stuff like that. But we're really just going to focus on why back pain occurs in most people.
Yeah. We want to jump on today just to, like L says, we want to give you, you know, insight into why the majority of people, vast majority of people deal with low back pain and what to do about it.
Yes. And I didn't even introduce myself earlier. My name is Dr. Ells, and I'm going to be conducting a medium amount of this interview. Okay. So what is a healthy spine?
Yeah, let's start there. And yeah, so we definitely have to get into a few basics before we jump into a few basic foundational info, which does apply to, you know, all areas of the body. This is the first episode, so we want to jump into some of these concepts, but especially the spine. And for you guys to understand the root cause, we unfortunately have to go over these concepts. But these are super important and hope it all makes sense to you. So when it comes to a healthy spine, it's the simplest way to put it is every segment in the spine has to work together. They're a team. It's like a machine. You know, they each have to contribute to movement. And what can happen is because of just our what we do throughout the day, throughout the night, our daily activities, the way our body moves, we can develop areas that either move too much, which we call hypermobilities, or areas that become stiff, which we call hypomobilities.
And they always happen together, right?
Oh, yeah, almost always. And like a good example would be, you know, like your upper back is that's commonly a pretty stiff area in people. And then right at the base of your neck or, you know, if we're sticking with the low back, right in that kind of lower portion of the low back, they can start to move a little bit too much. And so it's just that happens because of just the way we the positions that we subject our body to subject our body to throughout the day and the night.
Right. And that is the joint we're talking about. All those vertebral, you know, elements of those little segments tacked on top of each other. And so what we're going to be doing is we're kind of peeling away the layers today. So we're starting at the joint, and let's talk about some more scientific ways for this. Let's talk about the DSM. What does that stand for?
The DSM. That is a simple way. The simplest way to put that is just compensation. It stands for the directional susceptibility of movement. And so what that means is that our bodies are lazy. And, you know,
efficient.
Yeah, efficiency. Like I'm sitting right now. Ells is lying on the floor and I'm sitting too. But we're doing it. We're not standing because, you know, our bodies want to conserve energy. So we naturally want to sit. And so with the DSM, you know, we're going to move our bodies are going to move in the path of least resistance. And so going back to the spine, you know, we start to develop stiff areas, start to develop areas that move too much. Well, because those areas are easy or they're easier to move, the hypermobilities, I mean, they're easier to move, then we're going to continue to move more in that direction.
And they're going to move first.
I mean, yeah, quick. They're going to move. Exactly. They're going to move first. And then that just leads to more and more pain as what we call the picker gets disrupted. Else, what the heck is the dang picker?
Well, P-I-C-R. Yes. Yeah. It's all capital letters here in a row. So that'd be the path of instantaneous center of rotation. Which means how a joint's supposed to move ideally, you know, in terms of movement on top of each other. So like where the shoulder meets the humerus, I guess, meets the scapula, they have a very designated picker that's the best for that joint. Every joint has that. I feel like the shoulder's an easy one to go to because Everyone kind of pictures that in their head very well.
Ball and socket joint, that's a great example. Shoulder's a ball and socket joint. For a shoulder to be healthy, the ball stays centered in the socket when you move your arm. When that ball starts to move around, it leads to pain, pinching, you know, all that good stuff. That shoulders right up there too, right behind the back.
Oh yeah, we'll get there for sure. Yeah. Would be the path. So like if it's changed, so like for the back, for example, you take two segments, and for instance, we're gonna talk about it a little bit later, but extension is the most common issue that the back has, or too much of extension. So let's say if we can do a little visual now or visualize this as a listener on this podcast. We had a video version, but anyway, two things sitting right on top of each other. They look like marshmallows, right? Two marshmallows sitting on top of each other. If you go into extension, one is going to tilt back. That, if that would be the path. So if you were continuously doing that, it's constantly getting used to tilting back. And that extension is what it can be an issue with a bunch of things, nerves, muscle, all the things your body's trying to do to prevent that. Or then the, you know, consequence of that motion. That's my new analogy today. Two marshmallows. Yes,
that makes perfect sense. And so the last thing I want to get into, which is with these foundational concepts, is, you know, what is the root cause of this path of instantaneous, what affects the path of instantaneous center of rotation? You know, what causes the body to move through its DSM or through those easily susceptible areas within the, or joints, I should say, since we're going to start here with joints. And that is the RMPPs is what we call it. Stands for, the last acronym, the repeated movements and prolonged postures. This is the root cause of not just low back pain anywhere in the body, but especially when it comes to the low back, you know, the positions that we put ourselves in, our bodies in all day, and the repeated movements that we do, especially when it comes to sport and, you know, the gym and exercise, that is what is going to create these imbalances. That is what's going to, you know, cause your body to not move as one big fluid machine.
The big thing about this is not happening consciously, typically. I mean, these things are not something that you're doing on purpose or you'll feel. They probably won't even be painful. For example, sleeping, that's a big one, right? You know, sleeping in certain positions can change your picker. It's a big RMPP here. So let's say sleep on your stomach. That's probably the favorite place for most people to sleep.
It's terrible.
Terrible. So like if you think about it, I mean, it depends on how squishy your mattress is. But if you're sleeping on your stomach, you're going to be resting in extension of the lower back or you'll be arching. So think about those marshmallows. Those marshmallows are constantly sitting in their arched position. They're tilting backwards. So then you take that, which is hopefully 8 hours. You know, theoretically,
I mean,
of sleep.
I hope so. It should be more than that.
Yeah.
Athlete.
If you're doing the JJ Watt 10 hours a day plus an extra one, or that's the, what's that guy's name? What's his name? Efforting. Stan Efforting. His, like, I'm going to nap forever during the day and at night. If you're doing that, you're getting 12 hours of that position, even worse. So it's something you're obviously not paying attention to. You would never think it's a problem. All of a sudden, you go to work out, which is your test of your ability for your body to move, right? Unless it was the opposite in terms of how much time you spent working out versus how much time you didn't. But let's say it's 2 hours a day. Those 2 hours are now reflecting on how you spent the rest of that time and likely all the subsequent days before that too.
Yeah. I mean, sleep is the best example when it comes to the lower back in terms of a prolonged position that can really, really, really have negative consequences on the health of the low back. I mean, let's just stick with 8 hours. I mean, that's what? That's a third of the day. It's a third of our life. Spending a third of your life in a position that is detrimental to the low back. I mean, no wonder people wake up in the morning and their back is sore, it's hurting. Like, you should be waking up feeling good, feeling better than when you went to bed. That means you recovered. And if you're putting yourself either in that, if you're on your stomach, stop doing that.
Number one clue or tip from today.
One thing I like to talk to patients about is, like, you think about, like, your grandparents or just, like, older people in general. I don't know of a single elderly person that sleeps on their stomach. I think everyone, subconsciously or consciously, at some point in their life, just figures it out that it's like they just can't do it because it's terrible for you. And it's some people it's going to happen earlier than others, but eventually everyone figures it out, whether they're told it or they discover it on their own. It's just terrible for you. Stomach sleeping and that infamous, you know, Spider-Man going up a wall, mountain climber position where you're like kind of half side, half stomach, and that top leg, that top knee is hitting the mattress. That is terrible as well for low back pain.
Exactly. So that's a really good position, or really good point to get out of that position. So if you think about that, the one third of your life, and then you now compare it to what's 2 hours a day. What is that fraction?
Well, people not to mention that, but like people are, I mean, vast majority of people sit. Yeah. You know, whether it's through work or, you know, just driving, commuting, you know, it's an epidemic that is the root cause of low back pain. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into it. Some people can get away with it if their training is spot on, get away with sitting and sleeping. You can't get away from that. That's just going to, it's going to jack you up at one point.
So just get off your stomach.
But, yeah. I mean, there's, you know, it's between standing desks or taking walking breaks or you know, if you're sitting all day in the office and you know, just doing a eating your lunch and then doing a walk around the building. I mean, there's so many simple strategies to implement to help with this stuff.
Yes. So that is a little bit, excerpt from the joint talk. We talked about the DSM, we talked about the picker, and those are the RMPPs. That is where we now, as clinicians here, find your root cause and then fix it. I mean, that's like the number one thing. If you don't fix the root cause, it doesn't matter. You can't get past the joint level. So that's a lot of joint talk. Now let's talk about the muscles. Obviously, muscles attached to joints. How do they get affected in this?
I mean, when it comes to the low back, you know, a very common complaint is either muscle spasms or just really stiff muscles. Or when you're working out, those lower back muscles, they just blow up or they just get like super fatigued, tight, tired. And it's, you know, especially if you're trying to do things like deadlifts or burpees or, you know, there's a ton of exercises that could cause this. But, you know, muscles, they cross joints, right? So a muscle, its job is to move a joint. Okay. And if that joint is either hypermobile, like we talked about before, meaning it's just excessively moving, then the muscle is going to have to work overtime to try to provide stability for that joint, try to keep it safe and stable. And that's where muscle spasms tend to occur. On the flip side, you know, muscles cross joints. If that joint is stuck and it's not moving and it's a hypomobility, then that muscle's still going to have to work overtime to try to move that joint. You know, but the muscle's going to wear out. That's when it's going to fatigue and get that blow up your back feeling. And
you have compensations. These will be rampant during all this.
Yeah. But that's a big reason why, especially in the low back, you know, people love to stretch, you know, they love to do these muscle interventions, you know, whether it's a massage or the hypervolt, you know, all that stuff. But if you're not addressing the joint, then it's going to be short-lived results. And then even further, you know, if you don't address the root cause of why that joint is either stiff or moving too much to begin with, you know, then it's
looking for some recurrent. It's going to happen over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, a lot of people we see is like, this is not their first time they've had pain. This might be their third, fifth, tenth, depends on how long whatever is going on has been going on, regardless if it's the back or the shoulder or the knee or whatever, the root cause was not addressed. And so they didn't have a good handle of how to get rid of it for long term, because your body's not meant to hurt like this. I mean, we can talk about pain science at maybe a different time, because pain itself is wild. But for example, this kind of pain, your body's not meant to do it. You're supposed to be able to move efficiently in the good ways. So awesome. So let's talk about how we would treat that here at the Charlotte Athlete. We talked about the two layers of the joint and the muscle. The third layer arguably is bring them all together. That's the compound movements we're talking about, the squat, the deadlift, sprinting, jumping, all that kind of stuff. That would be the application of, you know, your movement. So someone comes in with back pain. What's the first thing you're doing?
Yeah, so we have our evaluation, and, you know, the goal of the evaluation is to get to the root cause. You know, we're going to watch them move. We're going to take a look at the joints, the muscles, everything involved, talk to them about everything we're seeing, you know, why things that they've tried in the past have not been effective. What we're going to do about it as well. And it's just so important. Like, the number one point we got to drive home is the education. And we're huge on education here and teaching the athlete. We use patient interchangeable with athlete. So patient athlete, we teach. Our main goal is to teach them why this is happening so we can prevent it from coming back. And so our sessions, essentially our treatment sessions, consist of three main components, right? There's the education component, which I just mentioned, and that is most important. There's the manual therapy component, which is the hands-on work that we do, and then there's the exercise component. Why don't you, Dr. Ellis, can you fill the audience in on what I mean by manual therapy, and what are some examples of what we might do in the low back?
So we are all fellowship trained in sports manual therapy. That is what we do here in terms of education stuff. We get into all the different muscles that might be affecting this motion. We talked about the layers part. So we talked about the joints, obviously, and then the muscles, how they affect it. There's a lot of muscles that are pretty much the, go-to issues, if you will. There's a lot of common traits. But it is not for everyone. Some people have very different presentations, so we have to make sure that our assessment is key, getting ready to hit whatever muscles we need to. But for certain things that are very tight, certain things that need some help in terms of stability, we have what we need for both. So let's say for the back. Soft tissue, Getting through the muscle can be very beneficial. Addressing the joint itself with manipulations and mobilizations, making sure that things that are not moving can move. We'll get to the stability aspect with the exercise for the opposite.
So what's the whole point of manual therapy? Why are we?
Oh, yeah. It's just a priming for movement, making sure that you get back into the right position. Maybe trying to do our best for those picker complications and get you moving nice and smoothly. It really helps amplify the ability to come back quicker.
Yeah. I mean, well, so going back to the analogy just in the beginning where our body's just one big machine, right?
Yeah.
I talked about the spine, how else to be able to move together. You know, each segment has to be able to contribute to motion of the spine. But, you know, when it comes to low back pain in the whole body, and we're talking about high-level sports, we got to look at the entire body, the rest of the chain. So, you know, we're looking at the hips, looking at the knees, the ankles. They're overhead athletes, especially looking at the upper back, the shoulder, you know, all that stuff. And so, yeah, the manual therapy will then be directed towards just normalizing the body so that it can move as a more efficient machine, so we can then train and exercise and strengthen more specifically in that new healthier range. So that's manual therapy component. I just briefly touched on exercise. You want to jump in a little bit more on that?
I mean, generally how we see a lot of things, and it does depend person to person. Some people are really mobile. Some people are very not mobile. I see a lot of both. But we like to say about 80% of this comes down to strength. Strength and stability, that component is really, really important. So getting into exercise, a lot of things for the back was stick with the back.
Do people sweat or they lie on the table?
Oh my gosh, they sweat. Yeah, we have to get them sweating. Lying on the table is not necessarily, you know, helpful to athletes that are actually challenging themselves. So we got to challenge them. Yeah. And likely all these movements are going to be really hard because it's things that are not good at. Yeah. It's strengthening. It should be tough. That is definitely true. We can get into why strength should be tough. But also, like, a lot of these movements are not. You talk about the body moving efficiently. This is now taking it out of that comfort zone and pushing it to a different place because you're trying to change how they move to get rid of, you know, the movement patterns that they have and now adopt new ones and now place those into your compounds or whatever your athlete is coming from.
Yeah. So to kind of recap this treatment session, you know, the more the athlete can, you know, make those changes to their daily activities, and believe me, there's wrong. We talked about sleep and sitting, but there's wrong ways to sit. There's wrong ways to stand even. I mean, that can be negative towards low back pain. And then there's different things involved with their sport, especially in the weightlifting, the exercise realm, any ball sport athlete as well. I mean, there's little changes, subtle changes can make a big difference. So the more the athlete can make those adjustments, especially with the prolonged posture side of things, the faster they're going to get better. And then the manual therapy is going to really help expedite restoring normal motion in the joints and the muscles in the soft tissue so the body can move better so that we can then train, you know, and train the body to just to learn how to move better and get strong and solid, strong AF in that position. I almost said solid AF.
Yeah, AF is very important.
In that position, and that's what's going to help solidify things long term. But the key, even after, you know, a few sessions, they're feeling good, they're getting strong, the athlete cannot go back to those poor positions, the root cause that got them into this predicament to begin with.
Because that efficiency starts kicking back in. You get a couple months maybe out of pain, and you're like, ooh, now I'm good, right? And then you go back to your old habits.
Yeah, but the cool thing about here, too, is like, you know, if that happens, they have the tools. I mean, I hope that wouldn't happen because we reinforce the hell out of it.
So.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, we're here for them at all times if they want to reach out and have questions, but you know, part of what we do is we want to teach and train the patient on how to take care of their own body. And if they were to get lazy with some of the things that happened or the advice that we gave them, down the road, then they have the tools in their toolbox to be able to take care of themselves and make those adjustments. And the hope is that, you know, we knock this out now, we teach them why it's happening, and it stays better for good.
Yeah, I think you said that very well. So in conclusion, it takes a lot of different layers. The back can be complicated, but the way we break it down, make sure that we address everything, you can get long-term relief. I mean, it's. I don't think there's a probably, what do you think? If anyone has pain, they can always get out of it for the most part with this.
Yeah, the human body is not a mystery. Like, no, things happen, people have pain in certain areas and for certain reasons, and, you know, it's just understanding what we call the biomechanics of the body, how the body works, and, you know, once we identify the root cause, then the solution's there. It's just in a lot of athletes we come across, especially those that have had treatment in the past, the root cause was never addressed. and other components are typically insufficient as well. But most important is just that root cause is never addressed, and that is key for long-term success, short-term and long-term
success. Cannot stress it enough. So back pain in general will be always multifaceted. We talked about the layers. We are movement experts. We pride ourselves on being that movement expert. So we're going to tease out the reasons that you're having those pain, why you develop them, how we can get rid of them, get a specialized plan of care. But I hope you guys enjoyed getting through the low back and how it typically has pain.
Yeah, I hope this was helpful for y'all. Any questions, shoot us an email. I think, are we doing an AMA?
Let's do an AMA.
Ask us, A-U-A.
Yeah, I know.
Ask us anything down the road, but shoot us any questions, and we'd be happy to answer them. Hope this stuff was helpful, and until next time, we'll catch y'all later.
See you in the next episode.